Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake Gibb. You're in the Net Live.
This is Heidi Bahani Park, and you are in the Net Live.
Aloha, this is Mike Lambert, and you are in the Net Live.
Lloyd Ball, and you're on the Net Live.
Ryan Malar, you're in the Net Live.
Hey, this is Heather Ballin, and you're live in the Net. Nope, that was totally wrong.
Hey, this is Kurt Kira, and you're in the Net Live with Willie and Barney.
You're in Net Live.
This is Taiba Honey Park, and you are in the Net Live.
Aloha, this is Mike Lambert, and you are in the Net Live.
Lloyd Ball, and you're on the Net Live.
Ryan Malar, you're in the Net Live.
Hey, this is Heather Ballin, and you're live in the Net. Nope, that was totally wrong.
Hey, this is Kurt Kira, and you're in the Net Live with Willie and Barney.
Holy cow. I think we made it this time. I think we're there, ladies and gentlemen.
It feels right this time.
Oh my gosh. Welcome, everyone, to the Net Live. This is a special episode coming to you from Cashman Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. SCVA. Nice. Las Vegas classic.
Well, Elvis, seemed appropriate.
That's good. I like that. Myself, Kevin Barnett, sitting in with Jeremy, DJ Roche. We're coming to you live. People are wandering by. We're in the lobby of the Cashman Center. Folks picking up some cards, learning about the program. We have Geeter's lovely face and Reed's kind of Darth Vader-ish stuff going on behind us here with our posters. We do have Reed live. Reed, are you there?
I'm here and glad to be on air.
Oh, there we go.
A little scramble there. We had to call some audibles.
Man, something weird with Blog Talk, but no worries. We're here now. So, welcome, everybody. It's a fun on-location thing. This tournament is gigantic. I have to get the exact numbers. And it's hundreds of teams, 17s, 18s. The final day is today. It's been going on all weekend. Geeter's team in action currently. He'll be joining us in about an hour's time, maybe 40 minutes, if his team's able to demolish the opponents. He'll be on here. We have a lot of different guests going to stop by. I think Casey Patterson said he'd come by.
A little boom today on the show, I think.
Yeah, I'd like some boom on the show. A lot of college coaches kind of wandering past, and really just kind of a neat scene here. Also have the College Volleyball Weekly coming. We'll have Jay Hossick. I think we're going to have, I know we're going to have Mike Sondheimer, and I think we may also have Rob on the mic. So we'll have our full complement, talk about the week that was in college volleyball. And great stuff. Good to be here in Vegas.
Looking forward to it.
This is Reed's hometown now. Lives here, got the house.
Notice he didn't tell us where his house was.
No, top secret information.
Strategically. But how's the Cosmopolitan? That's the newest place on the trip, huh?
I'll tell you what, we stayed at the Cosmopolitan last night, courtesy Desert Elite Volleyball Club and Range Jones. And Range Larson. He set us up. It was great. Cosmopolitan, very nice place. I can't believe the lobby of the place has columns, these huge columns. They're all flat screen, basically.
To up everything from my remote control. I could turn the shower on from the remote.
You did?
I could turn all the lights off and on from the remote.
Oh, I didn't try doing that.
I didn't have to get out of bed at all.
I liked how my shower had the shower and then had a window on the other side that you could open the shade into the room.
Yeah, so you can watch TV while you're in the shower. Seems appropriate.
Is that what I should have done with that? Yeah, it was awesome. Really, really a neat place. I guess it's a hot new happening joint. Somebody was saying, "Oh, you're staying there? Wow, Jay-Z stays there, or whatever else."
I heard.
I'm sure he didn't stay in my room.
No, no, I'm sure he had the entire top floor. But the front desk said they've only been open since December 15th, I believe.
Nice.
Yeah.
So just in time to get under the sheets, they're all clean.
Yeah.
All set. I had about a bazillion pillows.
Yes.
I think I had 8 pillows on my bed, and there were another 8 on the other bed.
Necessary? No. But just in case you need to build a fort, you're good to go.
Well, my boys are here, so fort building is an excellent activity for them. They're off actually wandering the tournament right now with range. So good stuff going on here. Let's talk a little bit about last week. Any reactions from last week, Reader?
Why don't you give me your reactions first?
Hey, man, I'm just lucky to have made it to this week. Now, I think our discussion of Hugh McCutchen was pretty good, and there haven't been really any more developments that are substantiated. There have been lots of rumors, lots and lots of rumors about Hugh McCutchen and what his future is today, tomorrow, next week, next year, 2 years from now. Is he going to go to Minnesota? When, I guess, is the question, not is. He's going to go. It's just a question of when. I ran into Wiz McCutchen, his wife, last night, or last afternoon, and then ran into Hugh last night. I ambushed him on the side of the Cashman Center here, ran up to him, put him in a headlock, and held my iPhone under him recording, saying, "What are you going to do?" But no answers yet. Hugh said there's a lot of moving parts. Wiz said they're not sure what's happening, but there's a lot of speculation out there, isn't there?
Tons of speculation, and I actually spent, I don't know, 8 pages worth of volley talk time reading through a lot of the different posts, and it's really interesting. You know, there's some people on there that are making some informed opinions and conjectures, I guess, but there's a lot of people that are doing some character slamming and saying some things that they really ought not to say about another person, and it occurred to me it'd be so great to have some of this dialogue happen on the radio, but it occurred to me a lot of people are.
We somehow lost Reed. How typical.
It happened.
Where did he go? He's allegedly still connected, but he's out. We're still on the air, though, so that's good.
I'm telling you, it's slowly becoming my show.
That's right. DJ Roche, just take over. So a lot of talk about Hugh and what his future might be. We said last week, and I said last week, that I think he's going to stay. I don't think he's going to leave the national team now. Now, I had an opportunity to talk to Mick Haley yesterday, who, of course, coached the national team on the women's side through 2000. But he had an agreement in 1998 that he was going to go to SC. And SC jumped the gun, announced it on him, and put him in kind of a weird situation, and he ended up having to negotiate with the university and say, "Okay, I'm coming in 2 years." So I'm sure there was some pressure there. We didn't really get further into it, but there has to be some pressure from the Minnesota side to say, "We want you to be here now."
It's got to be tough on the kids in the program, too, I would think.
I would think it's tougher on the program itself.
True.
Yeah, the kids, fine, but those who were going to come this next year could now go somewhere else, had commitments. I don't know how easy it is to get out of your commitment there. Geeter will talk further when Geeter gets on the air, but yeah, it's going to be hard on the program itself, because if there is kind of 2 years of lag, Hugh's going to arrive 2 years from now, and will those players have committed knowing that he's not there for the first year of their tenure or 2 years of their tenure at the university?
Do you think it adds more pressure to him if he waits 2 years and then the expectations at Minnesota get that much higher?
I don't know if the expectations rise. I think the expectations are going to be high anyway.
Gotcha.
Maybe the expectations go down because people know the program gets gutted a bit while he's still with the national team. I really think he ought to finish with the national team. Reed had a good point saying, what does he gain professionally? I don't know that he gains anything professionally. I think he gains it personally just from finishing out what he started. That would be it for me. Let's see if we can add Reed back in here and give it another try. Yeah, there's lots of good stuff here. Volley Talk, people talking. New national team women's coach. Hey, by the way, the old one hasn't left yet. Just checking. The old one is still employed, as far as I know. And other titles here. McCutchen quits as national team coach. Well, according to Hugh, not so much just yet.
Not just yet.
Not just yet. So we're trying to raise Reed. Sorry for the technical difficulties out there, folks. If you want to try and give us a call, 347-677-1525. We'll see. We've got a caller in the air here. Reed, is this you?
What's up, Jeremy?
Hello.
Can you hear me, dude?
There we go.
Testing.
Now we can hear you. All right. So we were talking about you and the national team. You were talking about the value of information that's out there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not quite sure what you guys covered already, but the only real value points that I heard on Bali Talk was regarding his family and the fact that there's been life circumstances, both in his own personal life and now his married life, that seems to maybe play into the equation. And now there's a son involved. And it just seems like there's a lot of judgment being passed. And you know, I know as a new father, decisions I would have made 5 months ago, even knowing a son was on the way, are not the same decisions that I would make now. And so, you know, only Hugh can do what he and Wiz think is best for their family. And somebody made a great point on Volley Talk regarding, hey, if you've ever met Hugh, you know, you wouldn't be saying these sorts of things. And I think that's true, that Hugh has, yes, he did ask the girls to buy in and that commitment process, et cetera, et cetera. But, I'm guessing that's why this is just such a pull and tug sort of decision, and that's why it's taken so long, because I think there's some serious things weighing down on both sides, and I'm sure that in a perfect world they'd love to finish it out, and I think everybody wants to see that happen, but I guess it's just an all right now. There's just tons of speculation.
Well, you know, from having Hugh on the national team, there were a lot of changes and formative things that had to be done in those first two seasons. And you guys arrived in that third season really more ready to play than you had been in the previous two. And I would think the group had to be excited. Hugh would have to be excited about continuing to explore that process of we've made all these changes both technically and team culture-wise, and now we're going to start to sort of climb the mountain because we have that base from which to work. And it'd be a shame to see all that go, because if you get a new coach, as we've seen on the men's side, Alan Knipe, who liked a lot of what McCutchen had, still has his own ideas, his own system, and he's had to implement that, and we've seen the struggles he's had for the last two seasons with the team, with players, and with consistency, and it's just that way when you have your first two seasons as a coach at any level, as you're trying to tailor a team to your style and your coaching theory. And I just don't know that there's time. This is the Olympic qualification year for the women's side. They have to go to World Cup. They have to finish top three in order to qualify, or they have to go to a tournament shortly following that in the winter. And if you don't qualify there, then you have to qualify in the spring. And really, this is a sketchy time period to have to redo the entire staff. Don't you think?
Definitely. Definitely. I think this would definitely be, if Hugh leaves, it would be an interruption. And we'd really see the resilience of the group that he has there. And, you know, we're talking about, I'm sure, from a player's perspective, I'm sure a lot of these girls are feeling a little bit frustrated having put themselves out there and been vulnerable in terms of trying to change things that they've done for 10, 12 years, ways that they've maybe received serve or things like that. And so there's no doubt that there'd be an interruption. And I think, I don't know, USA Volleyball has got, I don't know, it'd be a hard road, I think. You know, obviously you've got great people around you, but when the head coach of any team leaves, it's, there's no doubt about it. And you're right, the timing is not great. It's not you've got big stuff coming up, and instead of just kind of rolling on the foundation that was built the first two seasons, you're kind of in a restart mode. And you know this, and I think Alan knows this as well, just in seeing how much administrative stuff goes on from
right.
a national team
right.
perspective. And, I mean, there's a whole huge learning curve, nothing to do with volleyball once you take that role. And so, you know, I'm hoping for everybody involved that can work out and Hugh can finish. But at the same time, if it's not the right thing for him and his family, then I'm sure the girls will be fine. And I think they're resilient. I think they're talented and young. And they've got some seniority in there. They'll figure it out.
Do you install Karch as head coach if Hugh leaves effective immediately?
Gosh, Kevin, that's, you know, you're probably more around that team than I am. I'm not qualified to even make a good opinion on that. I really don't know.
in my opinion, just know the little that I know from the situation there, of course, we're not in the gym every day. We're not in the coach's office. But I've talked to people in and around that program. And if you look at Karch's resume as a coach, I think you have to say no. How are you ready after 2 years as an assistant at the national level, no other coaching experience whatsoever, how are you ready to take over the program? And you're talking about not only the in-the-gym stuff, the organization stuff, but then the scouting, having to build your own staff from that for the scouting, for the off-the-court stuff and all the administrative that you just referred to, Reed. I don't see how you can be ready to take on that project when you've been an assistant for 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, you bring up a good point. I think Karch, in terms of who he is as a person and the kind of effort and discipline that he puts into whatever he's involved in, I think that he would definitely take the challenge on it and succeed at it, but I don't think it would be easy.
I think it'd be a huge, huge challenge. You'd have to really wonder who he's going to bring onto that staff. And here's the other thing with Hugh. Does he take Jamie Morrison with him if he leaves to Minnesota? Does he take Karch with him if he goes to Minnesota? Does it gut the USA team entirely? How linked is that staff to that head coach at the national level? If you bring in another head coach, does he want Karch there? Or he or she? Does he or she want Jamie Morrison there? I mean, these are all situations you have to sort out. And right now, let's see, it's the 21st of February. You're going to have to start playing here in 3 months. I just don't see how it's at all good if Hugh leaves the program now. The national team is left in absolute disarray if he departs right now. And certainly if he has to go on for another month or 3 weeks, this whole process and the unknown, that's even worse. Now we're 4 weeks closer to the season. Now you're into an Allen Knipe situation where you have 80 days or 60 days to even figure out what you're doing in the gym to get a team on the floor for the upcoming season. It just doesn't seem like the way you want it to go.
Yeah, I agree with that the uncertainty is never good in these situations. But as, you know, Hugh told you, there seems to be a lot of moving parts. And obviously, this decision has a huge trickle-down effect. So hopefully they can come to some sort of conclusion here soon. And everyone can just kind of move forward, given, you know, what's ahead.
I still think he's going to stay. I think he ought to stay. I think if you look at the Mick Haley example, Mick ended up staying through 2000. The university ended up waiting for him. The University of Minnesota has the guy they want. I mean, they're going to get the premier coach in the United States. This is the most wanted guy in the United States, in my opinion. He should be, but maybe it's partly that I know him. They should wait 2 more years for him. Let him finish out the national team. Let him finish out this process. It's been going well. Geez, they won Grand Prix. They had a good World Championships. Not great, but good. A lot of young players, a lot of development. Great stuff that I'm seeing from that group. And you'd hate to see that go away. Now, I know the university has its own agenda. They want the coach there. They want the coach to start building their program in the image and the thing and doing the things that he's done for the national teams. But I think if you're Hugh, you've got the leverage here. Just wait. Tell them you want to finish it out.
Well, we're talking about being more of a family situation. Why don't we just talk about being a head coach of a top flight university versus a coach of a national team?
Well, in talking with Wiz, there's a couple of issues at hand. Number one is weekends, having weekends together, having some weekends in the summer to be together. And with the national team, you just don't have any time, no time, together with your family. Hugh's been gone for more than half of his son's life so far. He's been on the road traveling. And that's just the way it goes, especially on the women's side with Grand Prix being a month-long tournament. You're gone for 5 weeks, 6 weeks, continuously. You're not even back. Like World League, where you're out and back and at least home for a couple of days, which is a good mental rest for both yourself and your wife who's at home with the new baby. So there's big changes there. The university program is demanding, but it's you're away for 3 days and you're back and you're training. And there's a lot of hours there training, but you're still sleeping in your own bed. You're still going home at night to have dinner. You're doing those things on a majority basis. With the national team, that's not happening. You are not around. So I think there's huge benefits for Hugh to moving to the university system when you talk about family. It's definitely going to be better for the family. The national team job, we said last week, this is not the pinnacle job, unfortunately. This is a path to a college job, a very good college job. And so the hiring for that is a little bit difficult for the national team, to bring in a coach that has the ability to coach the national team and drive the national team, but at the same time is still looking for that experience to then gain a university job. I talked to McHale yesterday. He had a great point. He said that the national team is an opportunity to maximize yourself and push yourself, see how far you can take your process. So it's sort of an experiment. Say, I have these ideas about coaching. I've had success wherever I've been to even put myself in the discussion for this job. I take this job and see if I can really take it to the next level. Can I really do it against the best competition in the world? Can I do it with the best players we have in the United States? Hugh's already proven that he can. And I think he's proven it with both. The Olympics is one thing, but just to take a national team and go and win a major tournament like Grand Prix, it's a month-long grind. If anything, I think that's more of an achievement from a team standpoint, from a functional unit standpoint, to keep them together on the road, together, traveling, playing back-to-back nights, back-to-back-to-back nights
and
on these weekends.
And staying focused that whole time, too, would be tough in that grind.
Absolutely. I think it's even worse than the Olympics. And people say, well, what about the pressure of the Olympics? Yeah, the Olympics has its own pressure. You play every other day for 2 weeks. And it's the Olympics. It comes with a lot of distractions. But the volleyball is the same. I think the volleyball is more challenging in Grand Prix. You have to travel. You have to be away from home for that long. And you have to play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Or Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You have to perform 3 nights in a row at that high level against the best teams. So I think that Grand Prix is actually perhaps more of an achievement from just a volleyball standpoint. So I think he's proven he can do it with men and women.
Oh, no doubt. Without a doubt. And I think
there's a discussion happening on – oh, sorry, Jeremy. Go ahead.
I was just saying, like, I think in all this talk, he's just got to do what's best for him and his family. I know we keep speculating on it, but that's where my decision would be what's best for me, my family, and obviously he's taking everything into consideration.
Yeah, there's a conversation happening on the chat board, and I think what people are trying to do is call into question Hugh's, that he didn't count the cost, that he knew what he was getting into. And I think the element that people are missing out here is the element of fatherhood. And I think when you take Hugh and his experiences, and he lost a father, he lost his own father at a young age, and now his father-in-law, what happened in Beijing, and now
right.
He's a father himself. And I think that's a big issue. And I don't think it's about him not counting the cost and saying to himself, wow, this is just too much work and I'm not up for the workload. No, Hugh's up for the workload. But there's an element here at play, I believe, that's really weighing heavy on his heart, and he's trying to make a life decision versus a career move.
The workload is not the issue. The man can handle the workload. The man's been pushing the workload since 2002. 2 years with the men's team and into 2004. 4 years with the men's team as a head coach. Now 2 years with the women's team. Okay, he's done it. 8 years. Boy, he can grind it out. The man can grind it out. There's no question there. But Reed, you hit it on it earlier and just now about being a new father and about the decisions you make following the birth of a child. And what you, how you see the world differently once you do have a child, and you don't know it until the child is there, and then the child is there for a few months. It's this evolutionary process of how you reorganize your life and reprioritize your life. And so you hit it there. It's the kid. That's what it is. It's all about the kid. So,
and I can definitely relate with that too, just in my own career and what we're doing here in Russia. You get to this point in your career and you're trying to, extend your career a little bit longer and get that much more of a head start into real life, as we like to call it. But as soon as you're away from your little guy for 3-4 weeks at a time, and he's only 5 weeks old, I mean, that starts getting pretty heavy. And it's not necessarily about can I wake up and go hard and play my best. No, it's about, what's my responsibility to my little guy? Is it just about making as much money as I possibly can, or is it about being there and being a father to him?
I think you should make money as much money as you possibly can, if I could spit that one out. Reed, your responsibility is leave him a giant nest egg so he's a trust fund baby. That's your entire responsibility.
I'm leaving the radio show to him, by the way.
You know, buy him a Porsche at 16. Let him crash. Buy him a Ferrari at 18. All right, this is your goal. This is your role, Reed Pretty. Reed, if you were Hugh McCutcheon, what would you do?
Oh, gosh. See, you can't do that because I don't know all the moving parts, as he says. You know, as I think about this scenario, though, it's been very difficult for me, just my own journey, to think in two-year increments. I think in four-year increments. And so I'm making decisions, you know, based on every 4 years. And it would be especially seeing the progress that the women's team has made. If I'm coaching that team, I'm excited about doing something that nobody else has done, to my knowledge. Has anybody won a gold medal on both the men's and women's side?
I don't think anyone's ever won a gold medal on both sides. People have medaled on both sides. I think Bernardino has a silver, I believe it is, with the women's team, and then a gold with the men's.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that would be...
Do you chase history?
That would be... Yeah, and that would be interesting, but it would be something that you're chasing versus what kind of impact is this having on my family? And if it's having a negative impact on the way I want to raise my family, then I'm not going to make that decision. I'm going to make the decision to go family first. I think that's the right move, and that's the move that I would make.
I just saw a guy who we could have talked to about this, assistant coach at Hawaii, Scott Wong. He has a new baby. Be great for this discussion. He waved us off yet again. Scott Wong, he's going up on the NetLive hit list.
And he did it with a little smirk on his face, too. He wasn't mean about it, but just like, nah, it's just not going to happen.
He big leagued us.
For sure.
He's like, hey, I'm from Hawaii. We're big time. I'm big time. You guys are just in NetLive. How do you feel about that, Reed? That's Scott Wong. That's one of my ex-teammates. He's just doing that to us, just treating us poor.
Yeah, you know, it all started with that email when we were trying to get on the coach he works for, and it just wasn't happening. I'm not sure what the what's going on there. I don't know. The volleyball community can be a little bit weird sometimes. Let's just put that out there.
Yeah, it can be. It can be. Everyone's got their own little fiefdom. This is a huge fiefdom right here. All right. Hey, we're going to take a little bit of a break. I think the Hugh McCutcheon discussion is something that's going to continue for the next few weeks, at least until he gives us a resolution. It's going to continue on. The volleyball talkers are going to keep going. There's some crazy stuff out there. I was reading through it. My goodness, people. My goodness. Reed, I hope these people aren't Christians. They're passing judgment like they're God. That's not cool.
Yeah, lots of people pass judgment, Barney. Not just one people group.
Hey, it's Net Live from Vegas, SCVA Las Vegas Classic at the Cashman Center. Matt Furbringer coming back in 5 minutes. Casey Patterson. Chris Geeter McGee coming off a win, we hope. We'll be right back. Hey parents, do you know about the USYVL, the United States Youth Volleyball League? Having taught over 100,000 kids ages 7 to 15 the sport of volleyball, the league's proven techniques, super fun approach, and self-esteem lifting methods are unmatched. Truly, volleyball starts here. For more information about the league and programs in your area, visit usyvl.org. That's usyvl.org.
Falling asleep at the wheel again, baby. You're drifting over the line, yeah. Your hands are tied, but you're losing grip quickly. Let's make a new redesign. Summon your way to Vegas, dirty and dreaming of the other side. Save your tears and laughter, because it doesn't matter what you find.
The name of the song is called Pretty Vegas. It's a theme. It's going there. Monday morning, the party is over.
That's true, huh? The party was over yesterday.
Yes, it was.
But we're still here. We're doing the net live from the Cashman Center in Las Vegas. You hear the tournament going on in the background. We are right next to, looks like court number one. I think Eater's right over the way. Hopefully his team's winning. See, what does it say here? Joy's team is playing. Done in 30. That good. Or I can come now for 5. But he's going to go watch Joy's team instead of being on the show?
I mean,
talking about people big leaguing us.
They're married, right? They don't need to hang out anymore, right? Isn't that how that works?
That's Matt Furbringer telling us. So we'll have Furbringer back. Just tell him to come back in a little bit. We're going to have Shannon Davenport from SCVA, responsible for this tournament. Her mother, Ann Davenport, runs SCVA, Southern California Volleyball Association. We're going to have Ann on here to talk about this tournament. It is the 25th year of this Las Vegas Classic. So it's a huge, huge tournament. We're sitting here in the Cashman Center, but there are other arenas all over Vegas. It's a pretty spread-out tournament just due to the number of teams that are involved. DJ Roche, this is like your second home, right, Vegas?
I'm working on that, actually.
Yeah?
Hoping Reed builds a guest house and I can just live there and just come up here on the weekend.
Well, hey, as long as I get VIP passes to the hot parties, we can make that happen.
Of course. No problem.
Our man goes to the Grammys. We should be at the Grammys. I want to be sitting next to Jay-Z in his lap.
I'll clarify. I wasn't at the Grammys.
Oh.
I was at Interscope Records Grammys after party. I would like to have been at the Grammys. I'm not going to the Grammys until I'm nominated for one.
Going to the Grammys,
there you go.
It's like you got to sit for 3.5-4 hours, right? Didn't you go to the best part of the whole night?
I did actually go to the best part of the whole night. Is that Casey Patterson walking by?
That's Casey Patterson. It looks like he's thinking about being on the show.
Do we have the same haircut? That's the question.
Oh, his hair is much better.
Whoa, Kevin.
Just taller.
Oh, that's true.
He's got better color.
Just because he's blonde.
Oh, we'll have him say hi for just a second, then we have Shannon Davenport. Shannon, don't think this means you can walk away. Princess in training? Very nice. Shannon Davenport, princess in training for this tournament. But joining us right now is the man with the boom. I've heard him here on the show before. His son's named Cash. His name's Casey. He's got the best hair on beach volleyball, period. End of story. Matt Furbringer's going for the 70s look, but Casey's from the future.
Yeah,
Casey Patterson.
Did you see Matt's stats? That's pretty cool.
It's awesome. He's got the burns to go with it.
It's like, is he growing out for the six man a little early?
Dude, if he's going to grow that to the six man, it's going to be something else by the time man comes around.
Down to his shoulders or something. That thing's huge right now.
Goodness. Well, Casey Patterson, welcome. Tell us why you're here. I mean, we all know you're a pro beach volleyball player. But
yeah, I do a lot of coaching in the winter. I don't play overseas. That's kind of the number one thing that I like to go do is, you know, go coach. Keeps me fired up and excited about volleyball. I'm coaching Surf City in Huntington Beach. We actually just got a new facility. It's 46,000 square foot facility, 8 courts. We're going to add 2 more in the summer. So the club's only about 3 years old on the girls' side, so we're really fired up. Adding a lot of new teams every year and a lot of good talent, so we're really excited right now.
46,000 square feet.
Yeah, it used to be like an indoor ice skating rink and roller rink or something right by Belaterra in Huntington Beach.
Nice. Do you find anything funny in the storage rooms or anything you can bring out?
I didn't get a chance to look around, but I kind of wanted to.
Now, are you involved just as a coach on that, or are you looking for an ownership stake in part of the business?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be awesome long term. Right now, I'm just buddies with the coaches like Adam Cottrell and Chris Zanti and guys like that that are the directors. So, yeah, long-term, I love because I'm real good friends with them. But right now, I'm just kind of trying to work my way in as a coach and help the girls out as much as I can.
Tell us about your team, how you've done here in the tournament.
We went undefeated all throughout the first 2 days until last night, our second challenge match. We lost to the Austin Juniors, who 17th team, and they're a really good team, well-rounded team. We battled. You know, it's the same thing as it happens with anybody. If you don't pass and serve well, I mean, you really can't do much. And that was our issue. That one match was, we struggled a little. So,
what'd you say to your girls? What was your message as head coach? You just go off wild booms?
Dude, I rely, I'm like the motivation factor in timeouts. I'll come in and just get them all fired up, get them, look them in the eye, you know, get them going. But on the technical side, you know, something that I told them is that they need to have, like for me, I had a lot of trigger words when certain situations, game point, you know, if I'm passing, I'm saying in my mind, I pass perfect, or, you know, stay low. Certain trigger words that help me focus and slow the game down so that I can, you know, play my best. And so that was some things that I helped our libero with and a couple other players where, you know, you have certain trigger words and you go back to serve, same routine, a trigger word, reach high, follow, just things like that, little things that you say that get you 100% focused in the moment. And so that's kind of what I like focusing on.
Reach high, follow through, all that sounds very calm. That's not your outward projection.
Yeah.
Is that what's going on inside, yeah, but outwardly it's just,
yeah,
boom?
It's very zen-like inside, and then outside it just goes crazy. Yeah. For sure.
When you wake up in the morning, is the first thing out of your mouth just a boom?
Oh, yeah. Well, I hear Cash yell it, and that's what wakes me up, because he wakes up around 6 and, you know, boom, Dad, let's go, you know? And so, yeah, that's, we'll just jump out of bed and let's go, you know?
Awesome. How come you don't have a boom t-shirt? You should just have a t-shirt that says boom right across,
you know,
it.
I should.
Your whole thing.
Yeah, I'm actually part of a new clothing line that's around the corner. It's called Booley Boom. And so, that's kind of our little niche right now, trying to go into that t-shirt style, just boom style.
Booley Boom? Now, yeah. Who's the Booley that got above your boom?
Booley is actually the clothing brand, and then the website, we added Boom because I was one of the main athletes and promoters of the line. So it's just, you know, a volleyball fashion apparel. So it's cool. Yeah, it's exciting to be involved in the indoor stuff right now. I'm really excited.
Okay, so it seems like you're getting your hands into a lot of different parts of the volleyball business and volleyball community.
Yeah, you have to.
What's going on with your community? What are you hearing about this next season, this next year? How are you planning your schedule here? You're kind of one of these up-and-coming guys expecting to click over to that upper echelon, start making Matt Furbringer money, you know, and, yeah, and now there's a little bit of haze in that whole equation.
There is. As far as playing, it's tough. I actually am playing with Brad Keenan this year, and we're going to go try to do FIVB full time.
Okay.
And so I know that we're going to have to grind it out. It's almost like starting as if I'm a rookie again and start over. And so we're going to have to go play Kate and Kevin in the country quota, go through the qualifier, try to get enough points and get good finishes to where we can be one of the top four USA teams. And so right now that's our goal. We've been training real hard for a month. We're playing really well. Chemistry's really good. Brad's in really good shape this year. And so,
oh
yeah, that was kind of,
wow,
our goal is, you know, if we play, we got to get in really good shape, because I think with Brad, when he was playing with Hayden, he was in really good shape and they,
yeah,
were getting really good finishes. And he said, he even told me, he's like, yeah, and in the last couple of years, I mean, he was training hard, but he just wasn't as intense about the preseason as he had been before. And so we're getting the boom preseason going on right now. So he's bouncing Pierre, which he's not done in a long time. So it's good.
Okay, so going FIVB, where's, yeah, your base of operations? Here in the States, or are you going one of those teams that's,
yeah,
going over?
I thought about it, but with baby number two on the way in May, it's going to be tough, so we're going to just stay in Huntington. He's in Costa Mesa. I'm in just based in Huntington Beach. So, yeah, I'll just be there. We'll travel back and forth. There is a bit of time during the schedule where you got to stay out. I think it's in July to mid-August. There's just 6 in a row where you can't really come back. So
yeah,
we'll probably do that.
New baby, boy or girl? Do you know?
Another boy.
Boy.
I know.
I was thinking if it was a girl, it has to be Kashina.
Yeah. or change. Yeah.
So what's the second boy's name going to be? Are you,
I think,
still in discussions?
No, I think we're going to go with Guy, like as in like Guy Patterson from,
yeah,
that movie The Wonders, the drummer.
Yeah, yeah.
So Guy Patterson. Fits in with Callie, like, what's up, Guy? You know, Guy.
What's up, Guy?
Yeah. So I didn't want to give him some lame name and be like Cash and then, you know, Robert or something.
Bob.
Super basic. Yeah, exactly.
Cash and Bob.
Yeah, it just wouldn't work.
So you're going to play FIVB,
yeah,
but you're going to be back here in the States. What are you hearing about what's happening in your off weekends from FIVB that you might be able to do here in the States?
I know that Albert has 3 for sure, at least, that I've heard just recently from. I talked to Ty Loomis a lot, and he knows a lot about Albert's stuff that's going on because he stays in real good contact. So I know that there's 3. I know that Dave Williams has a bunch that are going on, and I know there's lots of talk of, is there money, is there sponsors, stuff like that. And I think that's just a question with Dave. I know that I went in his office and met with him, and I know a lot of us have as beach volleyball players. And I mean, he's got the schedule up, everything's lined up. As far as money, I know that he's real positive about it and says that it's going to be there, but I think that's what everyone's waiting for, is like the, you know, the schedule's there, but we need the for sure money. We need to know for sure. And so if there is, then we're doing that in the weekend. We're not in FIVB, you know, or even playing in cartridge tour randomly, you know, just got to hustle this year. You got to play in as many tournaments as you can. I mean, that's what you do at the end of last season. I didn't, you know, I was super bummed about the AVP, especially with me and Kevin doing so well. So I just hustled and played every little tournament I could, you know. So that's what you kind of got to do this year. It's going to be a grind and kind of waiting and just staying in shape and playing at the highest level you can until something in the States will be solidified again.
Are you waiting for Dave Williams to open up an attaché case full of $50,000?
Yeah, yes, just
it's confirmed. We have it here.
The gold block in the corner. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It seems like there's a lot of kind of random tournaments out there that you can play. You win $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 at a time. And you were in some of those. I saw some pictures on Facebook of you in like random places.
Motherload. Yeah, we played, me and Ty won the Motherload, which was awesome. I played in all of Karch's ones, like Breckenridge, Colorado. We were on the East Coast in Chicago. I mean, they were fun. We had a blast, so it was cool.
Tell us a little bit about Corona Wide Open. What do you like about playing in those events?
It's a really old-school vibe. They bring little chairs. You can sit. They have umbrellas all the way around the courts. They got music bumping. They got Peter Bigler on the mic, you know, and he's just going off the whole time. It's a really fun kind of old-school environment back in the day where it was just you played because it was a lifestyle, you know, and not so much of a corporate business and huge arenas and stuff like that. So it was much more of a throwback style, which was awesome. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
Is that tour's existence good or bad for the world of beach volleyball?
I think for the world of beach volleyball, it's good. I think as far as the future of the sport, it's tough because it's players that want to play as many tournaments as possible, where you're having to play all these different styles, it gets hard on the big guys. They can't go and play the big court, or they can and they just don't want to because it's tough. But I think it's good all around because there's opportunity. But as far as the future of the sport, I think having that small court and having everyone play the same thing because everyone's, you know, long-term goal or youth or, you know, a mid-range athlete, you know, the Olympics are the best of the best, and we want to play what they're playing, you know. And so I think that's the only thing that could be a little bit difficult with that.
How do you want to be involved with volleyball after you're done with your career?
I want to coach for sure. I love it. I'm really interested in being a coach full-time. I'm actually the assistant now at Modern Day for the guys and the girls. So I'm really excited because that program, it's like a college already. I mean, they're in there hitting the weights at like 6 a.m. every morning, and
nice.
It's crazy. The facilities are amazing. So I'm really excited to get my foot in the door as a coach and start going.
All right, one more thing before we let you go here. The PBVA, Pro Beach Volleyball Association, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Is it real? Is it a functioning entity? How is it going to work?
It's real. As functioning, it's very close to being functioning. As far as it, the success of it, it's all up to the athletes. It's all up to us as players. I know that we had a couple of meetings and there was a lot of people there. Kerry Walsh was there. I mean, we had the legitimate athletes from lower level main draw to the best of the best were there. And so everyone understands that it's super important now to have that, because without it, you know, we're just going to be left out in the dry as far as a point ranking system. And that's pretty much what it is. It's just a platform for these sponsors or people that want to throw tournaments. And so it's important for us to come together. And a lot of the athletes understood it was important. So it's for sure a real thing. A matter of, you know, solidifying it, that's where it's a little bit murky right now, because we're getting people that come, people that don't, and then people that are interested, and then they have a problem. And then they don't, we're all on board, and then there's something comes up. And so,
how closely aligned are the priorities of the top six players versus the rest?
I think they felt that it was just as important as the ones that weren't, but I think that on their minds right now is, okay, FIVB in the Olympics. And I think that's so much a part of their next 2 years that it's hard for them to worry so much about, okay, what's going on here? Of course they do, because they love the sport. That's how they have gotten where they are. So you can see that they know that it's important and they were supporting it, but as far as them 100% on board right now and trying as hard as they can to get everything going, it's hard for them. They got to focus on what they're doing right now. So I think there's a fine line between those two.
Yeah, players have to play.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Focus on that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, what's on your iPod? Since we got Roche here, he's been spinning some tunes. You guys know each other. We want to know what kind of music, if you're going to really just boom out, what are you going to listen to?
Okay, if I'm going to come out, it would be Mike Jones. Back then, they didn't want me. Now they all on me. That is the song, dude.
JR, is that good?
That's the one I want to come out to and just go crazy.
I don't have the clean version.
I don't either.
So I'm not sure if they make a clean version for that song.
See, Rick Ross, I'm the Biggest Boss. I'm throwing out tough ones.
Is he hitting some good stuff here or no?
He is, yeah. I'm into what he's doing. I'm just...
You're, Okay.
I could see you coming out to the...
Oh, dude, for sure.
You could boom some balls.
Dude, hitting lines would be unreal if this song was going.
It makes a big difference. You get some music going to hitting lines, you start feeling it.
Yeah, this wouldn't even be bouncing pier. It'd be bouncing the light post above the pier, knocking the seagull off, dude. That'd be all day.
Very nice. Well, Casey, thanks for sitting in with us.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
When's the baby?
May 17th. A boy. Yeah.
Those are good days.
Yeah.
Mine's May 14th. Okay. My boy's the 11th and 18th. My brother's the 16th.
Perfect.
August is a good month in the Barnett House. Yeah. That. All right, Casey Patterson. Thanks, dude. Here at the Cashman Center, lots of people going by. Shannon Davenport disappeared on us. Don't know where she went. Spurbringer's coming shortly. Let's take a little bit of a break. We'll be right back. Reed, you still hanging in over there?
You know it.
All right. Good stuff from Casey Patterson. Let's take a short break. DJ, play us out. I'm going to track down Shannon Davenport. Still have Matt Spurbringer. Geeter's coming on. 347-677-1525 is the number. Call in. Talk to Reed. Tell them what you want to hear about. We'd love to hear your opinion out there on Hugh McCutchen. What's happening with him? Stuff going on here in the junior scene. Anything you want to talk about, Danette Live. Right back.
This town is a make you town.
It's a remix of Frank.
Okay. Who's
that?
Are you
kidding me? Hey. No. I want to make sure it was Frank. When was the last time Frank played over, crazy modern beat?
True.
All right. The Net Live here on VolleyballNetwork.com. Live from Vegas.
Did you guys hit the town last night?
Dude, I have the kids here. I can't really hit the town. I mean, we went out and went to MGM. We wanted to see the Lions. The Lions were not there. They went to bed at 7. We went to the Rainforest Cafe. They were stoked on that. And then Max, my younger son, was too short for the roller coaster at New York.
Oh.
Kind of a bust there. So we're hoping to maybe see the Lions, the White Lions, the Mirage, before we split town today. Roche was probably out till like 3 in the morning. Well, he looks pretty good.
I was not, and I do look pretty good. Thank you.
Even though your hair is not quite the Patterson, but
I think it's just because it's blonde. That's why you like it.
I do like blonde. Ladies and gentlemen, we do have with us the princess in training, as she has been anointed by her mother, Shannon Davenport, who is responsible for all the goings on here. She has a secret room, a secret lair, if you will, where all the decisions are made for this tournament. In fact, I heard something about I can't let a team play in that match. as I walked into the secret room.
I did.
Welcome to the Net Live,
thank
Shannon
you so
Davenport.
Much.
Thank you for having us here.
Oh.
Here, just hit the end of the mic. You'll be good. We can hear you.
Okay.
There we go.
All righty.
So welcome, and tell us a little bit about this tournament. You said it's the 25th year of this tournament.
It is correct. This is our 25th year, 15th year in the Cashman Field Center. 1986 was our first year, and I think we had about 50 teams in the entire event. And this year we are up to 520.
Oh, my goodness.
So every year has just been a gradual increase.
520 teams.
Yes.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Now, has that growth mirrored sort of the growth of juniors in general?
When we first started, we used UNLV as our headquarters with a maximum of six courts under one roof and a whole bunch of one-court facilities all over the Vegas Valley, churches, rec centers. And we were told by some people that if we went into a bigger facility, we would get a bigger turnout. And that's what happened. When we got here to Cashman, it just grew exponentially. And then now, as you can see, we're back out at all the high schools. So we are looking at trying to get keep Cashman and also get in to the Las Vegas Convention Center and then hopefully try to bring back a 16s event. So we'll have the 18s, 17s, and 16s again and just keep going.
This is just 17 and 18
events. This is just
event.
18 open, 18 club, 17 open, 17 club.
Wow. Now, where are you drawing from? Obviously, drawing from a wide area.
Actually, we are all over. This year, we have a huge Canadian turnout. We have a lot of teams coming down from Canada, a lot of teams from Hawaii. We're getting some East Coast teams that usually send their one teams this way because there's also a huge event in Washington, D.C. this weekend. So they send their second, third teams that way to save on the travel expenses. But this is a massive West Coast tournament now.
Talk about the facilities. You say Cashman here was the larger facility. How many courts are here and how many other courts are you utilizing throughout Las Vegas?
We have 18 courts here, but we are using 74 courts total in the event. All the other facilities are four-court high schools. Las Vegas has all of their high schools are kind of cookie-cutter. They all have a main gym with three courts and a back gym with one, and they've all been designed the same. So we've used just about every high school in Las Vegas.
Well, it's nice to be able to have four courts at a single high school, though, rather than, as you talked earlier, about the churches and the single
one court.
Who knows how high the ceiling is at that facility.
And when it rains, it's a big question as to what they're going to be playing on that court or not.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I saw a Facebook post. I think my wife, who you grew up with, had something on there that said, I just wish that it would stop raining.
Yeah, you know, we come to one of the driest cities in you know, the United States, and it's raining the first day. We had three courts here with a leak, you know, in Cashman with big puddles on the floor. So it was a way to start our event off.
If you're able to get the Las Vegas Convention Center and keep Cashman, will that reduce this tournament to two venues, or will you still need other courts?
Depending on how many halls, you can put between 70 at the minimum, up to maybe 100 if there are no columns, depending on the layout of the event. So the first year, it might just be a two-facility event. But again, if we open it back up to the 16s, we could be back out at high schools shortly again, you know, as they keep going, because Anne does not like to turn teams away. She likes to get them here. We have over 300 college coaches. She wants these girls to be seen and to look forward to their future. So.
Ben, talk about that. How many college coaches are coming? What's the recruiting, I guess, aspect of this tournament?
As far as I'm aware, we have over 300 here. And, you know, we have some that are still trying to finish out for next year, grabbing those last-minute 18s. And a lot of them are finishing their recruiting process with the 17s, but they have requested to get those younger girls back in here. It's just become such a competitive market for them. They need to find the girls at a younger age. So
yeah, they like a central place to come and visit all the girls at one time and really get it done.
And that senior showcase we started about 3 years ago. I think this was our third year doing it, and it was huge this year. Very organized, very well structured. We shut the gym down on Friday night, and all the unsigned seniors are invited into the gym, and we invite all the college coaches, and they run drills and practice style, and we get all the girls that final, like, come look at me, now you know who I am, now you can watch me play this weekend. So
we had talked to John Tawala last week on the show, and he said that last year I think it was 800 girls, and it was a little unmanageable. Yeah. It was a little bit of a beast, and this year it was well organized.
Yeah, and he had all the pre-registration done, so a lot of that chaos was eliminated. And the other thing is he did not let the parents in the gym. It was girls only.
That's nice.
And
for the girls, I would think.
and college coaches, they last year, I guess they were literally tripping over each other to try to be, you know, to try to see a court. The parents wanted to be up front center, and this year he said, you know what? The girls are here. They're taken care of. Just wait for them. Let college coaches do what they need to do.
Now, your family's been involved with the SCBA forever.
Forever.
Forever. Your dad, yes. Wink Davenport, is a 68 Olympian.
Yes, he is. And he
and
ran
referee
the
referee for a number of years and ran the SCBA, and your mom runs it.
Yep. She's been running it for 30 years now, I think. So I played through it. I played in the Vegas tournament way back in the day, and now I'm just tagging along.
How does the organization now compare to 15 years ago?
Massive. You know, even in the short 12 years I've been here, the registration when I first started versus, you know, right now we're registering 15,000 junior kids a year. It's just an exorbitant amount of kids.
15,000 juniors is unbelievable. Tell us about some of the other events that you guys run, because this isn't just this isn't the only thing you guys do throughout the year.
In the region, we have regional events, which run every weekend for all age divisions, obviously alternating age divisions. And but in addition to those, we open up to inter-regional events. We have three boys events and three girls inter-regional events. The boys would be the Holiday Classic in December, which is a two-day event, the final touches. Then they have their national qualifier in January. Then we have the Vegas tournament for the girls. And then we have our national qualifier for the girls in April this year, which is at the Anaheim Convention Center and our home base in Anaheim. And then at the end, June, we run the Boys Classic back-to-back with the summer soiree. So
that's a full schedule.
It is. It keeps us busy all year.
And your offices are at the ASC, there where the national teams train.
That is correct.
That kind of a fun thing. How much touch do juniors really have with the national teams?
Unfortunately not. The national teams are in the gym during the week in the morning when all the kids are at school, and then we're there on the weekends. And most of the national teams kind of stay away on the weekends. There's too many people.
What about summertime? Do you think that some of those kids should be in the gym, or can you get coaches into the gym to see the national teams?
When they've had scrimmages, inter-squad scrimmages, we've had really good turnouts when when we can promote it through our region. A lot of the kids want to go watch them. They just don't know when and where they are, because most of the time they're traveling. They're not at home with the big matches. So,
when do you get home from this event?
Tomorrow morning.
When did you get here? When did you get here?
The kids and I came up on Tuesday after school, and my mom's been here since Sunday.
Holy cow, what a huge event.
Yes.
All right, what's the maximum this tournament can do? If you get the Las Vegas Convention Center, you bring the 16s back in, you keep Cashman, how big can this thing get?
It can keep going because, again, as I said, Ann has such a great rapport with the high schools. We make donations to the volleyball programs to keep them running. That we could open, the 80 courts at Convention Center, the 18 here, and then just add all our high schools back as we need them. So it could just keep going.
People have said they're scared of your mom. Why is that?
She has a reputation. If you know her, it's more bark than bite, but it's definitely there. It's definitely there.
So it's warranted?
Yes.
People should be afraid.
They should.
Very good. Shannon Davenport. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us here. This is great. Shannon Davenport from Southern California Volleyball Association. They're responsible for this mayhem going on here.
She was nervous before she came on, too. I thought she did great.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks, Shannon. 520 teams. Just 17s and 18s, Roche.
That's a plethora of teams.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it. Reed, are you still with us?
He's asleep.
Yeah, he must be asleep. He must be on the phone. 347-677-1625 is the number. We're going to have the College Volleyball Weekly coming up here in just a moment. Chris McGee is hopefully somewhere in the arena. It's getting late now. It's 10 after
He texted
11.
Me and said they won their first match.
So why isn't he here?
I don't know. He won their first game. I apologize. I misspoke. And speaking of that, I have a question about this whole set and game thing.
Yes. By all means.
I don't understand, in tennis, I understand their sets.
Okay.
Okay? In volleyball, how is each, for lack of a game, a set?
Well, all right, here's the thing. It's not really games. It shouldn't be called games.
I need more of an explanation.
The international one is sets. And this is something we go through with the TV all the time, is making sure you try and say sets. And I end up saying games, too, because I've grown up in the American vernacular of saying games.
Of course.
But it is, you're playing a match, so I guess you...
Wouldn't the whole match be a set, though?
It's a football game, right?
Yes.
So that's where I think that even the disconnect is in the United States. Why is that a football game? This should be a volleyball game with sets, right? If you won sets, you won the game.
But when I think of sets, there's multiple, like, there's multiple games in the entire set. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Multiple games.
You're playing best at, these girls are playing best out of three, correct?
Right. So you want to call it, it's not a set, though, it's an entire match.
Yes, like then, but then each individual...
Because tennis has another level. Because tennis is, within a set and then within a match.
Exactly, yeah. But here you don't have anything within a set. The whole thing is a match. I'm just really...
Technically, this should be called set. Set one, set two, set three.
Get it.
Match. You won the match. Or you could even say you won the game. But in the American vernacular, it's games for some reason.
Gotcha.
It's not correct. It's not correct. And yes, it's confusing. I think the scoring in volleyball is too confusing for me. I think it ought to change. I think we ought to have just a score people can understand, 87-85.
Just go for it.
That's it. Yeah, just play. Play and let's play. Let's have a halftime.
Because as players, you would play for that long. It doesn't matter. You would go.
Oh, you could time it then. Then it would fit exactly within television, which is what all these changes have been based on. You know, when you talk about changing the scoring of volleyball and the structure of volleyball, it's to make it fit within a particular time frame to be more television friendly. But they took it from what was an hour and a half on the short end to 4 hours on the long end with traditional scoring, side-out scoring. Now, rally score, it's gone from being 45 minutes if you kill somebody to, I think it's 2.5 hours max. And that's pretty standard. Five games, 2.5 hours, 2:15, something like that. But there's still that huge variance. I'd like to see them take it to, all right, we have a 24-minute running clock. It's going to stop in the last 2 minutes or whatever. Whatever thing you can get it to have it be exactly an hour and a half or something. You know exactly how long that match is going to be if you're going to televise that thing. Now, the purists, oh, we don't have the sets and the reset and, you know, this and that. Oh, fine. But there'd be runs back and forth, right?
And you'd probably get more viewers who didn't grow up in volleyball but would watch it because that makes more sense to them.
You could put the score in the paper and it would make sense.
Gotcha.
Right now, it doesn't make any sense for a lot of reasons. And don't tell me about tennis, and tennis still makes money. Yeah, fine, but tennis is a special case.
I don't get tennis either, just casual wire.
Tennis is arcane. I mean, it's like baseball. If you introduce baseball today as a brand new sport...
Wouldn't make it.
Would never make it. No one would care. No one would watch. They'd be like, what is this crap on television? See, crap again.
He's calling the FCC right now.
Yeah, it would never survive. And I think that tennis would be similar. It's just too slow. There's too much stoppage time. But it's got a history, and it's... Rich people love it.
Yeah.
You know, it's got that going for it. And baseball has that entire history and basis in America, even though it's been succeeded recently by the NFL, but it still has that this was American, it's apple pie kind of thing.
I DJ'd some Dodgers games.
Yes.
And I didn't grow up playing baseball, not my favorite sport. Boring.
Boring.
Just going to say it's boring.
Great atmosphere. If
I like
there,
going to a game.
Right.
Can't watch it on TV.
Right. If you're there, it's fantastic.
Yes.
It's fun. Beautiful day out. You're having some dogs, some beers. You're hanging out with your kids. You're watching some guys hit some ball with balls.
It's an experience, and if it happens to be a good game, great. If not, you hung out all day outside.
If I'm tired and in the afternoon would like to have a nice, peaceful nap, I will put on Vin Scully, and he will put me to sleep like a lullaby.
He'll lull you right to sleep.
Oh, man, he is perfect for that. He will just put you out. So that's what baseball is useful for me. College Volleyball Weekly. Let's do it. In association with the American Volleyball Coaches Association, Net Live is proud to present each week the best that was in college volleyball. The USC Trojans, right back off their loss to Pepperdine, came back and thumped Stanford Pacific this past week, so they get the music. We have our usual set of correspondents, Mike Sondheimer from UCLA, Jay Hossick from Penn State, and from UC Irvine, Rob on the mic, Rob Aspero, all joining us here on the Net Live. Wait for the big finish, gentlemen. It's coming. I know it's still Sondy every time we put it on.
Do I have to wait?
We got to get like an expedited version of these songs.
Yeah, we got to talk all over this intro.
They keep winning matches, so you keep having to wait.
I think LMU cut their fight song.
There.
At least it's not the Pepperdine fight song. That's all I'm thankful for. Oh,
God, that was horrible, wasn't it? I mean, I even went there and thought it was bad. Next time you want to get a kazoo and an accordion together to put together a song, let's not have it be a college fight song. Okay?
Yeah, that could have been the UC Santa Cruz fight song for all I know. That thing was crazy.
Oh,
go banana
bug.
That's right.
So welcome, gentlemen. It was an interesting week of college volleyball. Not quite as interesting as last week. Mike, let's start with Southern California. They took out Stanford and Pacific 3-0, 3-0. It's a pretty good start.
Well, the Stanford win was so impressive. It was dominating from start to finish. And the next night was impressive as Murphy Troy missed the match with the flu. So they definitely had a great week and reestablished themselves as the clear number one. And what everybody's waiting for is a week from now, not this week. BYU comes in for two matches and that'll kind of maybe even decide the MPSF title halfway through the season.
Interesting. Rob, Long Beach State loses to your Irvine Anteaters and then takes out San Diego, UC San Diego, who had made some waves the previous week.
How should we know? They could beat Cal State Northridge Geeters lunch here on Friday night.
well, we can't remiss that, yes.
Yeah, Irvine, actually, you know, I think they'd come into a lineup finally, and you know, especially in the Long Beach match, I think they decided to go with a couple of new middles. I think the Stanford commentator last week called it Kevin Carroll the smallest middle blocker he's ever seen, but he's able to get those blocks to the net for the Anteaters. So Sparrow's going with a smaller middle than Kevin Carroll and the freshman Scott Kevorkian. And what's happened within the last week is they've activated Will Montgomery at the libero, which, you know, there's going to be some chemistry issues off the bat, but he's been picking up a lot of balls. And what that's done is they're able to run a better offense to get their three pin hitters involved, in Clark, Yoder, and now DuFault. So they're coming into their own. And Long Beach just started off slow, and by the time they started picking it up, they couldn't get back into the match on Wednesday night.
Jay, Penn State, you guys, you defeated Mount Olive, and then you took out Lees McRae, and it's not very nice to just beat up on a single person. Who the heck is Lees McRae?
I have absolutely no idea who or what a Lees McRae is, but they were a nice little program. They got some good players on there.
And you guys defeated them 3-2. Is that one of those cases where you have sort of an unconventional opponent and someone you're not very familiar with that can give you trouble?
No, actually, you know, I think it's a little bit different. Lest we forget, just a few weeks ago, San Diego beating Stanford in three. And lest we forget also, UOP last year winless in conference and beats UCLA. And so, you know, you get there's a couple of real nice teams at that conference, Carolinas. You know, Lees McRae and Mount Olive, and there's a couple others in there. And from what I'm hearing rumor-wise, because they're going to apply for their bid, I believe next year they get their sixth team, there's three or four more teams that are ready to start up out there. So, you know, Division II seems to be a little bit of a growth here, and that's, you know, they came in, and everybody wants to beat the big dog that's close to you, and so they played real well, and I give my hats off to them. They went after us, and we just, you know, we did the best we could. We didn't have Joe Sunder in the lineup all weekend long, and he's a big stick for us, so we don't have him. It's going to be a little bit of a dogfight.
Hey, why didn't you have Joe?
Pardon?
Didn't you
What's
have
wrong
Joe?
With Joe?
Joe was having some academic issues, and Pav wanted to give him the weekend off to get studying and make sure he gets his grades up, and that's that was the reason.
And has he gotten his grades up? Will he be back this week?
We are assuming that, yes, he will be back in the lineup this week. We just wanted to make sure that he was going to take care of some stuff.
Mike, number two, BYU defeats Santa Barbara, then loses to Santa Barbara.
Yeah, Santa Barbara has been playing really well. They swept UCLA. They split back in Hawaii, won the second night there, won the second night at BYU. And they have the most experienced team in the country, almost all seniors. And I think they're going to be a real factor in the playoffs, and they're hanging right in there.
Guys, it seems like, and Rob, I'll throw this to you, it seems like there's still a lot of upheaval. And we know that last week was crazy with the top five teams all losing. But even this week, it was sort of back and forth with different groups. Pepperdine, they lost to Stanford, but they defeated Pacific. It seems like, besides SC, still nothing is really settled.
Yeah, I think, just in volleyball circles, what you're hearing is there's USC, the clear front runner, and then the rest of them. Everyone's been battling for this next seven spots, because even BYU's shown some chinks in the armor, because, you know, as powerful as they are and how good they are with Taylor Sander, they have those two losses to Stanford in the beginning of the season, and it's hard to look beyond that. Being at Stanford can get hot at any time, and we've seen that. You know, they You know, Pepperdine, I thought, was going to come into this week on fire with an upset at Stanford, against Stanford, but Stanford ended up sweeping them. So that was kind of a shocker for me on the weekend. So I think basically, you know, basically it's USC and everyone else will be fighting for that next seven.
Yeah, speaking of up and down, UCLA, Mike, your group there defeated Hawaii and then lost to Hawaii, but 3-0, 3-0 on both nights. How is it you back and forth quickly like that? You can defeat a team 3-0 and then you go down 0-3.
I just think there's a situation. There's so much balance in the MPSF across, and everybody's looking for their right lineup. And I just think that you're going to see that throughout the year with 4.5 scholarships and talent being split all over. It goes in cycles. And then UCLA, you're talking about a team that has really no seniors out there. They're playing primarily a couple freshman outside hitters, and you're going to be good one night and not as good the next, and it just keeps going all over the place.
Mike, you're a historian in this game. You've seen a lot of volleyball over the years. What coaches out there have the advantage, given the upheaval and the kind of open-endedness of trying to find the right lineup and really not having their team gelled now? What coaches do you think will do the best down the stretch?
Well, Faraz, proven talent. I think he's found a lineup. And I remember a small middle blocker when he was back at UCLA, a guy named Danny Farmer, who was probably undersized, a wide receiver in football. So I think maybe he's looking at the Danny Farmer and putting Kevin Carroll in the same way. And it's really about scoring so that you don't have to have a big middle blocker. If you can score points, the other team will make mistakes. You serve tough because Carroll's got a good serve. And I think that right now UC Irvine is the hot team, and we'll see how things go because people before the year thought they were going to win it. They got off to a terrible start, but as people know, they're hot now.
All right, gentlemen, we'll go around the horn here and give us the lineup for this next week upcoming. Rob, we'll start with you.
You know, I'm going to go with the UC Santa Barbara at Stanford match as the hot match of the week. Santa Barbara, I think, is on the rise, and Stanford is hot, so that's going to be a total clash up at Stanford.
Jay?
I got two. I'm going to say, actually, I got three. I'm going to say the UCLA trip up to Stanford and UOP, and here's the reason why. UCLA doesn't win those matches, or both those matches. They're really in a tough spot to make it to the playoffs. The other one for us, we played George Mason this week, and they're the other first-place team in the EIVA that we share that spot with. Should be a fun match.
Very good. Mike?
I just keep thinking that Ohio State may be the team to beat. They're dominating right now in the Midwest. They've won 4 matches in a row sweeping. They beat UC Irvine. I think we're just going to see if they can keep dominating back there because they're going to come out west in a few weeks and play Irvine in San Diego. And if they can get through those matches and beat Irvine at Irvine, they may be a team that could really win at Penn State in May. So I'm just watching to see if they can keep their lineup healthy and dominating.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. College Volleyball Weekly, we appreciate your information and look forward to another great week.
See you, boys.
Good one, all.
Bye. All right, you guys. There was College Volleyball Weekly, sponsored by the AVCA, American Volleyball Coaches Association. I like how you just groove us out. It's nice. All right, charging through. We've got about 40 minutes to go here. We may be Geeterless. Maybe just forgot about us.
That's fine.
I think we can replace him, though. We've got a guy sitting next to me here. Every time I see him, I think he's got a Lakers shirt on. Roche, you know a little bit about this guy?
A little bit. Some people call him the Golden God. Look at him with his stash and his sideburns, too.
He could be Russell. He could be Russell from Almost Famous.
Great movie.
Can you play any bass? Play any guitar? Oh, hang on. There we go.
I made an effort for about 2 weeks and didn't make it. Didn't last that long. Leo tried to show me the ropes, Mike Lambert, but music is not my specialty.
This gentleman owns Mizuno Long Beach Club, multiple-time AVP champion, FIVB champion, member of the national team for a while, national championship in college. Welcome, Matt Furbringer.
What's up, boys?
How are you? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, man, I'm in Vegas, so things are good.
You've been partaking in the evenings?
Of course.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No kids? The kids are home?
There's Charlie all right there.
Oh, there's one.
No, the kids are here.
You have a whole team of babysitters, though.
Exactly. Yeah, we get it taken care of, but it's a long weekend here, all week in Vegas, watching volleyball all day, kids, and then somehow the nightlife seems to call you and call you out at the very end.
Where's the place to be? All the coaches, all the recruiters here, where are you going to go?
We always end up at the Hard Rock. It's kind of a good job, babe. Mizuno Long Beach just beat Coast Volleyball. So they're in the semifinals of the 1800 division.
Nice.
So
took out Ojan.
Took out Ojan.
Friend of the show.
Yeah. So it was a big win for them. I think Coast is number one seed in their age group, so it was a big win. But no, we just go to the Hard Rock. It's a great place to hang, and it's not so big like some of those other casinos where you kind of get lost. So you always find people in the Circle Bar, and it's always a good time out here.
Geeter was lamenting the fact that nobody can find a new place to go, that everybody just has to go there. There's like a million new clubs and bars throughout the town, and everyone just stays at the Hard Rock.
I know, but Geeter's always the first one there and the last one to leave.
So he can't say anything about it.
Yeah, yeah, we had a good time on Geeter and I had a great time on Saturday. You know, our good friend Mike Whitmarsh passed away 2 years ago today. So we kind of had some cool moments, you know, celebrating his life. And, you know, some of our best times with Mike were at the Hard Rock playing King of the Beach tournaments. And just was a place he was really in his element. So it was a special night on Saturday, kind of unforeseen, you know, but we just brought it up and kind of made a night of it, celebrating his life. And that was great. But, you know, when you're out in Vegas, like getting back to it, is if everything's a scene now. You know, it's a club or something where you got to wait to get in. And when you got 60 people who are all really on kids' schedule, we're all here for the kids, so we don't know when we can show up. You can't get passes for everyone. So you try to go in some nightclub or some hip-hop, you know, some hot place, and, you know, the girls might get in, but the guys are left standing at the door.
Vegas is you have to know somebody.
You have to know somebody.
That has to know somebody, because you can get in partway, and then there's like another list to get in even further.
That's why we bring you.
Well, I got myself in. I don't know about anybody else.
See? It's going to be the G.J. Roche show pretty soon.
It's just a matter of time.
Matt, tell us about your club, Mizuno Long Beach. Yep. You and your wife, Joy McKenzie, started it.
Yep.
Talk to us about the beginning of the club, the idea to start it, and how you went about growing it into what is a powerhouse now in Southern California.
Well, it actually... it wasn't me that started it at all. It was Joy. When I met Joy, she already ran the club. We kind of, you know, what we did together is we opened up the Mac Athletic Club in Carson, which is a dream that she always had, and we kind of made it come to reality. So we have 3 volleyball courts, a weight room, cafe, a store in there. So we have a home for Mizuno Long Beach. And, you know, it was actually the beginning of it. It's crazy. Is Joy's father, Bill McKenzie, passed away of leukemia. And her brother, Dave McKenzie, national team member, pro, incredible volleyball player, is about 7 years younger than Joy. And he was still in high school. And when his father passed away or got sick with leukemia, it was hard for him to kind of do a lot of stuff. There wasn't much volleyball in Colorado. So actually, when he got sick, Dave came out to live with Joy while she was in college at Long Beach State. And he went to Huntington Beach High School. And when her father passed away, they kind of needed some more income, some money, so she started the club just to kind of put some food on the table and take care of her brother and make the ends meet. And meanwhile, she was going over to Europe and playing some professional volleyball. She was playing some four-person. And, you know, it just started growing and growing. And she just, you know, she's so passionate about volleyball and coaching. She thinks about it all the time. And, you know, people just started really liking the way she coached. She started growing teams. And then, you know, from there, she just saw what she could do and kind of saw a bigger vision, and we kept seeing adding more stuff to it, getting the kids in a workout program, talking to them about nutrition, and kind of we keep just building on, adding things to the club. But it's really, you know, people come for Joy and her style of playing, and it's a real testament to her and her hard work.
What's your involvement with the club day-to-day? You know, you're still playing professionally, so that takes up a lot of time, plus you have the kids. What's your role?
My role, I do all the workout stuff with the kids along with my personal trainer, Mike McKnight. And so we take the kids that come in twice a week and do an all workout, teach them about their body, nutrition, stretching, but then also put them through a really hard workout. And then I recently just started Team Rockstar, which is a boys volleyball club. So I'm coaching in that and then running that club. So we're going to add that, you know, kind of really Team Rockstar and Mizuno Long Beach, the two clubs together. So we're staying busy, and then I pretty much run the facility, the Mac Athletic Club, for us and deal with all the kind of day-to-day stuff that goes. So.
What's the biggest challenge to running a club? Is it finding quality coaches, or is there something else?
You know, I think coaches when you're starting would be, but we have a great team. Joy's been doing it so long that now we're turning away coaches, which is pretty cool. And Joy teaches a certain system, so we want the other coaches to learn the system before they can kind of coach for us. But you know, the hardest part is just, you know, you're dealing with everyone in the club, you know, every parent in the club has a daughter. And if there's a 12th person on the team, there's still someone's daughter
right.
or son. And, you know, you want to, it's taking care of everyone's kids the best that we can. And we do a great job doing it, but, of course, not everyone's always happy. And so, you kind of battle those because you want everyone to be happy and everyone to leave on a positive note. So I think that's the hardest part, but the rest is just dedication and loving what you do. And Joy does that, and I do that, so it makes it pretty easy.
How important has it been for your club to have its own facility now to control your own court time?
It's been really nice. The puzzle that Joy's to put together between like five high schools and trying to put it together, and then all of a sudden there's a high school game that pops up, they have to cancel gym time, so she has to call around and do it. We don't deal with that anymore. And the really cool part too is now we can see all the practice. So even though Joy might not be coaching a 14 team, she's in the gym when they're practicing, so if things aren't going, you know, she can kind of control the club, make sure the coaches are doing what she wants to do. And you know, it's just great. It's a great place for the kids to come and get dropped off.
Are people able to utilize the facility at other times? Do you guys rent it out for other purposes, other personal lessons?
Yeah, we rent it out for lessons. We rent it out for, like, Charlie had a birthday party there now, so now people on birthday parties. We run some SCBA tournaments there as well, and we run some adult leagues out of there. So on Wednesday nights, an adult league, and then occasionally there's a women's league that comes in on the day on during the week.
Oh, very good, very good. Yeah. Listening to Net Live here, we're talking to AVP professional Matt Furbringer. I guess we have to say beach volleyball professional these days, Matt Furbringer. Matt, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about this upcoming season for you. You're continuing to play professionally, and what's the plan look like for this upcoming year?
Plan's going to be a lot of travel. Looks like Nick and I will be playing mostly international events, but there's some good news on the beach. There's going to be probably 8 events domestically with $150,000 even or more prize money, and which will get the top players to go there and play. And it's going to be just kind of a transition. I'm sure you guys think I've talked to Albert Hanneman. He's going to run the National Volleyball League. And then you got USA Volleyball and IMG putting together the BCS Series. Interesting name choice, but Beach Championship Series, which might be some kind of prelude into a qualifying for the Olympic Series in the United States. And then there'll be the Corona Wide Open Tour. And amongst, like, every, you know, in those events, there's going to be every tour will have a couple events that will be worth more money. And then this year we started the PBVA, which is Professional Beach Volleyball Association. And that's just all the players getting together and pulling themselves as one and trying to get our voice out there so that when beach volleyball, when we have opportunities, we have sponsors, they have a group to come talk to and we're not a separated mass. Hopefully we can kind of show who we are, represent ourselves a little bit more and not rely on, I'll say, a suit, you know,
yeah.
to kind of tell everyone who we are.
We talked to Casey Patterson earlier about the Pro Beach Volleyball Association, and we're wondering how well the top group and the rest of the folks match up as far as ideals and moving forward collectively. Do you really feel like everybody can come together and have more of a singular voice?
A singular voice in our sport, I mean, Kevin, you're right, it's tough because there's so many different things. But I think the way that we're trying to, you know, because I'm on the board in the PBVA, and one of the things we're trying to preach is we're all about unity, we're all about inclusiveness. So we don't want to exclude someone from playing in tournaments. We want everyone to be able to play in all the tournaments they can. That said, if we get more money up kind of top, it's going to kind of be trickling down to the bottom. But actually this year, it's better for mid-range to lower-range players. There's going to be a lot of tournaments out there, $50,000 or so, where a lot of lower-ranked players can go and not have to play Phil or Todd in the first round, not have to play a lot of the top American teams. So, it's interesting. I think we'll just have to see. But there's no way that we can ever be inclusive if we don't start here. And at some point, if we have
boom!
To... Oh, Geeter.
Geeter, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chris.
Fresh off a victory?
15-13
winner.
Nice. 15-13 victory.
Are we playing you next, Geeter?
Hey, we're trying to do a show here. Never mind that, you know? Hey, so we had Ken Steffes on the show earlier in the year, and he had talked about meeting with you.
Yeah.
Tell us about talking with Kent about volleyball in general, the business of volleyball. What did you discuss?
World peace, pretty much. No, I don't.
Oh, you solved it?
We
you got
solved it?
Yeah.
No one listened, though, which is really weird. Shoot, we talked a lot about just, you know, ideas, and he actually was one of the guys pushing for us to come together as a as an association and have that voice, because he was kind of out looking for potential groups and investment opportunities, and he wanted to get involved somehow, and he's like, I don't know who to talk to.
Yeah.
Do I talk to you? Do I talk to you? And I said, well, you can talk to me, but I don't represent anyone as of now. So I think we were all beginning of the year waiting for the next AVP to pop up, and hopefully that would happen. And when it didn't, we're like, okay, we need to get together here and kind of try to make it happen. And so that's where we're at. But he was helpful. It's funny because Kent, you know, left the game in such a quick way, left the game.
Yeah, it just ended. He was gone.
It was gone, you know, in his prime. And now he's obviously been super successful in the other side of the in the business world. And now he's but realizing that he wants to get back in some way. So it was great for him to get back involved and hopefully he'll stay involved now. As of right now, I haven't talked to him for a while.
You've been through the good times, the bad times. When you're on the national team, it was kind of a bad time for the indoor side of things with USA Volleyball struggling. And you come to the beach and things are going well for a while, and now that's kind of fallen apart. Are you disheartened at all about the way the sport's functioning, or are you still filled with hope and positivity?
You know, I don't associate too much with how it's functioning. I go out and do what I love. If I worried about volleyball, it's just the stability of it, I'd have quit and got a real job a long time ago. It's obviously not as stable as we would all like. But you know what? The thing I do know is the fans are passionate about it. I mean, we're here in Las Vegas, and how many people are out here at this tournament, kids that are playing the sport, going up playing the sport. When they come to our events, they love it. Last year was supposed to be a down year for the AVP, and at every event it was full with people, kids going crazy. So it's, you know, it's just interesting. I think it's just been business model, bad decisions, and some greed that have caused a downfall more than, you know, people's love for the game, which I think is only growing.
Matt, Chris McGee here. I sometimes host the show.
You're on the poster.
Yeah, just won 15-13 to get to the semifinals. You know, Matt, it's funny. I kind of came in late, but I'm sure you've touched on this. The most question that I get asked the most when I'm walking around this place is, hey, Geeter, what's up with the AVP? Yeah. What's going on with beach volleyball? I mean, a lot of these people, the juniors level, the parents, the coaches, you know, they still follow it. They love it, and they want to know if it's coming back.
Yeah. Geeter, you were late. We were having a great discussion before you got here. But actually,
Matt, you can get time.
We talked about our Saturday night a little bit, Geet, just to fill you in where you're at. We talked about us celebrating Whitty's.
Yeah, the two-year anniversary of Mike Whitmarsh's death, which was tough on a lot of us. But he won us 100.
Yeah, he won us 100. I didn't tell that part of the story.
Oh, you didn't? Yeah, we laid 100 each on a blackjack hand, and we had 20. And dealer went through about 6 cards, pushed us. We're like, maybe it's not meant to be. And then winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah.
Whitty stepped in with the divine hand.
Yeah. Stepped in. We're like, there's no way he's going to let us lose.
It wasn't.
And we told everyone at the table, too, so everyone kind of felt bad. They're like, these guys, oh, God, I hope these guys win. Yeah.
Matt, we talked about the love of the game, and major participants in this game where the money's being made is here, girls, juniors.
Yeah.
Right? This is the most consistent part of volleyball, up, down, professional, indoor, outdoor, doesn't matter. This part of the game is very healthy and growing. Are your players fans of the sport? I mean, we all know they play, but are they fans? Do they spectate the national teams? Do they consume volleyball elsewhere besides when they're playing?
They definitely do. I mean, at our tournaments, we have club teams repping the games, signing autographs for a lot of club girls and guy teams. But are they as involved as, you know, we'd hope? I mean, I guess what comes down to is we need to get more of the parents coming to those events, because for the younger kids, you need the parents to take you to those events. So that would be, I think, where we need a clip in the mark. I mean, the kids are involved. The kids want to go. And when they're there, they love it. I mean, especially on the women's side, I mean, what great role models do they have right now? They have gold medalists to come see play. They have all that. So it's just a matter of, I think, you know, I mean, if you're a parent and you've been in a gym all weekend at Las Vegas event, and then there's a pro event 2 days later, I mean, you might not want to be taking a kid to another another volleyball function.
A little bit of fatigue.
Yeah, a little bit of fatigue. And I think that's a little different in today's life. You know, when we were growing up, you played a sport. But it's so all-encompassing now.
Yeah.
I mean, we literally, in Mizuno Long Beach, when we talk to the parents, we, like, almost scare them beforehand. This is going to take over your life. Do not join our club unless you are ready to commit every waking hour to volleyball. you know, no more vacations. Your vacations are going to be with Mizuno Long Beach. I mean, that's what it is.
How many parents do you lose in this conversation? What percentage?
I don't know.
Well, when you have elite teams, too, I mean, it's a conversation you have to have. I mean, we just had a player, you know, recently. Her family was going on their yearly trip to Mammoth.
Yeah.
And she had a choice because we added a Saturday-Sunday practice because we needed it. And she stayed behind. And you know, she's a senior in high school. And how many trips does she have with her family? I don't know. But it was her choice. And she knows if you commit to a top-level team, you have to make sacrifices.
Matt, with the upcoming FIVB season, will you base yourself here in the States with your family, or are you going to spend significant time overseas?
It will be back and forth for me. The month of July, with Joy at UCLA now and with the club Jaros, the early month of July, I might have them all come over, live somewhere in Italy, and do that. But for the most part, I'll be going back and forth. The schedule, I mean, I don't know if anyone... You could pull it up. The FIVB schedule is really not good. I mean, the month of July, you're kind of in Europe, and then all of a sudden you're in Canada. And it's like, really? And then we're going from Brazil to China, and then back to Europe, and then back to China. So they just didn't do a good job this year of kind of giving us maybe like a little Asian leg, a little European leg, South American leg. That's like to be somewhere I'd like to see them kind of build on that.
Yeah, they don't care about you, Matt.
No, they don't.
They only care about their schedule.
Dollars.
You played with a fine young player at the San Francisco AVP event. I don't know if you remember him. Reed Pretty.
Yeah.
What's that experience like?
Well, I was hoping Reed would be on the call. What's up?
He's in Siberia on like wooden floors.
Hey, I'm here. I'm just answering phones. I do all the hard stuff. I'm the blue-collar worker of the group.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? Good to have you here.
Good, man.
So critique Reed's game for us.
Reed's game was – my game was pretty bad that weekend. I felt bad for Reed. I mean, he gets a chance to play with one of the better big guys on tour, and I didn't play that well for him. Actually, first-round matchup, blocked about 90 balls, and we won easy. And after that, I don't think I blocked another one. And it was a lot of fun. I think the hardest part for Reed and I was that Reed had a hurt elbow. So we were hoping to train, and we didn't even get to train before the week started. So, that happened, and then we ended up having to play my partner now, Nick, and Brad Keenan for 13th, which is, at the time, a pretty bad draw. They lost early in the tournament. But, I think everyone knows so many guys that are waiting for Reed to join the beach and pick him up. But, I mean, obviously, he couldn't be happier with his decision to keep playing indoor with the recent, kind of money downfalls on the AVP. So,
financially, it's worked out okay for him.
Yeah, I think so.
Am I late to the conversation, or did we talk about the players' meeting you guys have?
We talked. Okay. Oh, the players' meeting? We didn't talk about the specific meeting. We talked about PBVA.
Gotcha. You guys recently had a meeting with some news about, just certain events, maybe that coming up, Albert's NVL.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of touched it. I mean, nothing...
Is that money confirmed? Do you guys feel like the money is confirmed from NVL or from USAV, or are they still just talking about what's possible?
That's a great question. I don't think anything's confirmed yet. The NVL, actually, though, the NVL did seem like they had investors, and they were confirmed, and that those events they did would be covered. I think the USA IMG is going to be covered. I've talked a lot with James Lights at IMG and Dave Williams at USA Volleyball. They're doing a fantastic job of getting this together, and they've told me they're gonna find a way to get it done. But as far as do they have all their sponsors they need yet to make it happen? No. But the more news that comes out, the more we basically went out and the sponsors know that we're gonna go to those events and be part of them. And once that happens, I feel like it's all gonna come together.
How long do you think it is before the sport is sort of clarified here in the United States and one organization steps to the forefront?
I don't know if that's the best thing for us. That's one of my arguments is, if you have one organization and they're shipping things all across the country and paying for all their people to go out and stay in the hotels and do all that ABC did, I mean, that's a model has not worked. Perhaps there's promoters that have all the stuff they need. We go to their site, the players show up, and that kind of feeds it. And then there's maybe four tournaments from USAV, maybe four tournaments from NBL. And we go that way. I mean, that's what I like to see. It's more of a tennis model than a volleyball model where we have, and then maybe at one day it all comes under one roof. That could happen. But as of now, I think it's going the right way, and I think people can figure stuff out.
Yeah, one thing that I've heard talking to Albert, Billy Berger, Dave Williams, it seems like everyone's at least on the same page and trying to help each other work together. Is that true, Matt? Have you seen that, trying to maybe schedule events, their events on different weekends for guys with different opportunities?
Yeah, for this year, they're definitely working together, and that's they've been awesome. I think all the guys have been good about talking to each other. I mean, that's going to be something going forward if one of the leagues starts gets a big sponsor. And I mean, it's hard. I mean, it's the same thing ADP dealt with a long time with, when Leonard was with us, with FIVB. And it's like he's trying to grow his tour, but he's trying to keep players to be able to qualify for the Olympics. And all of a sudden, FIVB, they did it this year to Dave Williams, changed to Grand Slam date.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to get weekends. This is a lot of, I mean, people don't realize the qualification is going. You know, you don't just show up in Manhattan Open and throw a tournament. We have to go to city council meetings. We have to go to the park and recreation department. We got to go to the beach department to talk about the, you know, make sure everything's clean and set up. So your date has to be set a long time. And then if you want it on TV, they got to set that up. So there's a lot that goes involved. But, you know, the great thing we got going for us as players is that the Olympics is 2012 and sponsors are going to want to be a part of that. We have defending gold medals on the women's side, defending gold medals on the men's side. And we got some say, and people are going to want to jump on that wagon. So if we get all the infrastructure set going into next year, I really think 2012 could be a really cool year. And maybe from there, it kind of shapes how we move forward. And, you know, so that's what I got my fingers crossed for.
There's one other entity out there that you haven't mentioned in talking about all this, and that's Corona Wide Open.
Right.
That took over some events, has held events in Manhattan before. Yeah. How do they fit into the equation of beach volleyball in the United States?
They're fitting in nice. I mean, they did a really good job of, you know, they're really growing it in a small sense. And I like their ideas of they're growing festivals. So they're trying to incorporate, like what you talked about, is, okay, all these volleyball players aren't coming to events as fans. Well, let's bring them in as players, and then they'll stay as fans. So they're having these huge tournaments where they have A tournaments, AA tournaments, AAA tournaments, and growing the sport. And this year, they've announced that they're going to use professional beach volleyball rules, the short court, and with antennas. And that's a big jump. They have a big $150,000 event in Cincinnati this year.
U.S. Open.
The U.S. Open. And, you know, I they're another one. They're in there. So they grow, NBL grows, and you know, USA Volleyball grows. I think we're in good shape. But the good thing about Corona is they're more established than those other two entities. I mean, they've done it. They have the best title sponsor of anyone
right.
at Corona, paying them. They got guys that have done it before and are growing the sport. So I think they're just staying quiet right now because they don't have to. They have what they need, and I think it's a real positive.
Ken, in volleyball, can you have a similar situation to tennis where you had different surfaces and maybe even different scoring or different size courts in different cities in one-off events? Just sort of a philosophical question.
Yeah, no.
No.
You can have different surfaces. We play in different surfaces all the time. We play in deep sand. We play in wind. We play in shallow sand.
Peter would set up a grass court, he said.
Yeah.
Well, I would completely still dominate that. Set up, I mean. I could set up a grass court.
You know that Gita grew up in the Valley. I mean, that's just...
we used to do it in Northridge, baby. That's how Northridge men's volleyball raised the money.
Long jean shorts. And get it going, bud.
Well, sometimes you got to win cars when the price is right. Wearing shorts. It happens.
YouTube that if you guys haven't.
Peter McGee, Price is Right.
I want to get Geeter actually hosting a game show. That's
Matt's dream.
That's what I was trying.
That would be ideal for him. Yeah. Be a steady income.
Not sure what that means, Barney. I know I'm losing money at your house when
yeah.
we do the show because I get parking tickets. I am negative 127 while starting the show 9 months ago. Negative 127. I have 3 parking tickets in my name.
3?
Yeah.
We're going to stop doing Tuesday shows for you. Well, hey, Matt Furbringer, thanks a lot for joining us here on the show. We appreciate
Thank
you spending
you,
the time. Hope that Joy is able to dominate the show.
That's right.
I just wish people could see us because the chops and the stash that you've been rolling in Vegas, so marketable.
Thank
it's
you.
Precious.
Take a photo and tweet it. So hopefully we'll...
J-Row, tweet that thing.
Hopefully we'll see you in the finals deep. And
yeah, by the way, Long Beach, Mizuno Long Beach Joy's team, absolutely on fire. They just beat Coast, who I think is the deepest. That's Ojan's team. The deepest and best team here, and they beat them handily in two. So I think Long Beach right now, been together a long time. They're the team to beat. And then the team on our bracket that we're playing, Rancho, team we beat in the gold medal match last year, playing very high level. We're going to have our hands full with them. So it's a great tournament, man. We're having a lot of fun. I'm proud of my girls. They've really come a long way. Our setter really sick, our outside's really sick, and they've somehow just gutted it out, which you have to do. We're trying to teach them. No one cares, you know, when you're playing professionally, when you're playing in college. No one cares that you're sick. You still got to play. I mean, Matt, you play every single weekend. Sometimes you're not feeling great. Yeah. And these kids have got to learn that everybody's sick out here. Everybody's hurt. And you got to persevere through it. So we've done that. I'm proud of them.
Very good.
All right, guys.
Matt.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate your time. Matt Furbringer, beach volleyball, extraordinaire.
How was Casey Patterson on the show?
Oh,
did you get him to say boom?
Oh, we know we didn't get a true boom out of him. We needed a real boom. We didn't get that. But next time.
And how's the show been going, sir?
Sorry, the show's been good. We've been waiting on you. I don't know where you've been.
Well,
like,
here's what happened
with the people.
Our game started 16 minutes late. 11.
So did our show.
10-16. and then we went three. You know, we won the first 25-21, lost the second 25-22,
uh-huh.
and then won the third 15-13. Funny story, though, about the third game. It's 14-13, and they're serving. And Tim and I are looking at each other and Marcio, the other two coaches, and we're just completely yelling at each other. Do we have a timeout? Yes, we have a timeout. Let's use it. Let's set something up. Finally, we look at each other. I look at Tim. He looks at me. We said, let's not call a timeout. Let's just let them play. We're in Vegas. Serve. We side out. The only thing we would have done on that timeout was mess up everything. We would have set up a play. It wouldn't have worked, and we would have blamed ourselves.
You guys are smart coaches.
Yeah.
Sometimes the coach's role is to get out of the way.
And it's
some coaches don't get that.
And it's the Vegas tournament. Let them figure it out. You want to win, of course, but they know what they're doing.
Hey, we've talked about this before on the show. And at every level, at some point, the coach has to release complete control and responsibility for what's happening to the players on the floor, because the players on the floor are playing. Much as you want to get out there and set like you do in practice every day, you know, you can't do it during the match.
Can't do it. Who have you had on the show?
We had Casey Patterson. We had Shannon Davenport talk about the tournament. Matt Verbringer, and now you.
We've got Anaheim April 1st through the 3rd. NetLive's going to be right there, I'm told. That's the L.A. qualifier.
That's what SoCal
said. I will have, I think, a brand new baby, like a day old. We're a March 31st due date.
Ooh. That's going to be tight. Hey, we talked
a
lot about...
We have a name? Is there a name announced?
Not a name announcement yet, but when it is, it'll be right here on the NetLive.
Perfect.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Did you guys talk about Hugh? It's funny.
We did. We touched on it, and I wanted to kind of get your thoughts
on it.
Okay.
I had heard that it was a for sure that Hugh was going to Minnesota.
Now.
Now that it's a done deal.
Yeah.
You then talked to Hugh last night. He
last
said
night.
It's still not done. There's no announcement.
Hugh knows yet. I'm a member of the media now, so
it's
going to be a little tight to the with that information. But
you know,
I also talked to Wiz, and they both said things are not done yet.
You know, I talked to Wiz, and we talked about that him getting the job and how excited she was to be going home and how excited
Absolutely.
Her mom was. So I think I assumed when we were talking that they were already leaving. I never actually asked her to her face. I just assumed everyone knew because it was all over the world.
There are tons of rumors out there. There are rumors all over. We talked about the Volley Talk discussion, 8 pages of craziness about his family, about commitment, about he's not doing it, it's not right, and nobody even knows what's happening.
Yeah.
But the trolls are going. What do you think should happen?
Now, I'm not Hugh McCutchen, I'm not Wiz, but I think he should stay with the U.S. National Women's Team. And I think that's more of me wanting him to, because I like what he's done with them, and I think he's one of the best coaches in the world, and I like him personally. I would really like to see him stay. I think they've created a great culture there. I think they have a shot at meddling with a young team that he's brought along real well with his coaching staff, Karch and all those guys involved. I would love for him to stay and take over Minnesota after that. That's what I would like to see happen. I am not in his shoes.
Put yourself in his shoes for a second. You know a little bit about what it takes on the national team. You've seen the national teams, the amount of time involved, both off the court, studying when you're in town, but then the travel. You know about the college and the travel and the recruiting that goes into that. Think about that, and think about you have a new baby on the way. You already have one child, Millie, and how that changed you. Think about that time, put it all together, and just making a decision for you, if you were Hugh McCutchen, what would it be?
It's easy for us to sit here and play Monday morning quarterback. I have not traveled internationally 8 years. This is what I would do. If it was me, I would think that he has created a bond with this team. I feel like he wants to finish it out. And I'm pretending I'm Hugh now, by the way.
Yes.
You'd want to finish it out. And you'd want one more Olympics. You'd like to do it with the women. Who knows, man? A medal with the women. He's got a gold with the men. A medal with the women, whether it's gold, silver, bronze. I mean, he puts himself right up there already with some of the greatest coaches of all time. I'm playing this guy right now, Danny Scott. This guy. You know, we got to have Danny on. It's Ojan's best friend. He said he had more personality than Ojan. He's a great coach, Danny Scott.
So you finish.
I want to finish London 2012.
I'm with you. If I'm Hugh McCutchen, I want to finish it out. I want to be done. I want to explore it fully, and I think, as I said earlier on the show, I think Hugh has the leverage in the situation to say I'm coming in 2 years.
Hugh has the leverage. Hugh can write his own ticket anywhere. He has the leverage, absolutely. If I'm Hugh and, you know, someone said to me yesterday, he's leaving. I mean, they're going to throw boatloads of money at him. I don't think it's a money thing. Hugh's going to be making that money for years to come. Hugh can be there for 20 years if he wants.
Right.
He can retire
right
there. It's not going to be a money issue.
He's going to be making $200 in Minneapolis. It's like making $2 million in L.A.
There's no question about it. So, you know, I think it's part about finishing what you started. And you know, only you've been a part of teams, coached. I've coached. I've played. There's something about being on a team and seeing something through that I would want to finish.
I think you brought up a good point about the bond and about the shared commitment to a goal. And in this case, so much change. So much change in saying we're going to take this journey together. She was very much about that. You have a lot of coaches that it's not about the togetherness of the team and the coaches. It's about the coach in charge and this is what we're doing. Where with Hugh, it's more about getting players to buy in and getting people to buy in to what's happening there. And you want to see that finish. You have a commitment within yourself to seeing that finish. It's not quite the mercenary quality that goes on in so much of, I think, sports.
100% agree. And it, like I said, I always want to reiterate, it's easy for us to all sit here
sure
and say what we should do.
Sure.
I don't know the particulars. But I think you hit it on the head. You said goal in mind. You have a goal in mind with these kids. You came in. Let's see it through. Let's go to London and give it our best shot. And then we take over Minnesota. It's done deal. You're there for life. Life for Holmes.
There you go.
What's up, Jay Roche?
Hey, you're running Jay Roche's computer now. You gotta run our music.
Do people think you're me with my DJ headphones on?
These
laptop in front of you has my name on
he's
it.
He's just hoping that he gets those headphones.
Fantastic.
I'm going to try and steal those. I would make sure they're in your bag before we
for
leave.
For sure. They look good on you.
Reed, you've been there listening. We've had Matt. We've had Casey. What's your reaction to anything that's gone on so far?
You know, I like what you said about your conversation with Mick Haley. And I just begs the question about the national team job, is that it doesn't really seem like it's a career. Just like Mick said, I can't really it's an opportunity to maximize yourself, I think is what you said.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not really a career. Is there anything we can do to change that? Should that job be more of a career? Would we like it to be more of a career? And obviously, if that is a career, that means you're going to have to, you know, pay. It's going to have to be more of a career for players as well. And to be honest, the only reason the players are able to make it a career is because of what they're doing overseas. And that's not really the case for the national team coaches because they're year-round.
In men's basketball, it's not a career. I think in women's and men's national team, it is the pinnacle of our sport. I think it should be an absolute career. That person should be paid a lot of money. That person should be looked at as you know, at the top of the mountain.
Can you pay that person double? Is that what it takes? Do you pay them $400? I mean, you're talking about college coaches. You're making close to two, right? Between
absolutely
camp and salary easily.
Absolutely.
So it's got to pay $4 to $5. That's $1 million a year commitment for the men and the women.
And they travel around the world nonstop. I mean, it's a job that takes up 100% of your time.
Is it the pay? Would the pay make it a premier thing? Or is the university schedule so appealing that it's not really about the money at that point?
Do you
it's
not
about
think
quality
it's a premier
life
thing in the eyes of coaches?
I think it's a premier thing to say you've been there. But it's not a goal. It's not a. It provides zero stability is the issue. You can't go there and say, I'm going to be here for 10 years.
No, I think it's a 4-year job.
4-year job.
I really do.
So
I don't think it can ever
become the premier goal then.
Well, unless you're that guy that wants to stay there for, you know, like if you wanted to stay for another 4 with the team, absolutely, from what he's built. And you know, but I'm just saying it's like being a president.
Here's what you have to do.
You know what I mean? You have a 4-year commitment, but yeah, that doesn't mean you can go on. You know, I'm just saying, if you come in and it's a 4-year job, but you should have that choice.
You're going to have to be single. No family, no wife, no commitments. If you're going to take that job for 10 years plus. Hugh's already done it for 8. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a whole lot. I would want to change, too, especially with the possibility of even money, essentially. Better schedule. Back home.
How driven is the coach? Does he want to be a guy that's won a gold with the men and the women? Who in the world can say that?
You know what the odds of that are?
I know.
Even if they're the number one team going into that tournament, you know what the odds of that are? Because everybody talks about this being the goal. I'm so tired of the Olympics and it's the, you got to win the gold. And no, that's not the goal.
No, I mean, I don't. I think it's too small.
Yeah, but it's too small.
Yeah, I agree.
That can't be the only thing. This is two weeks inside of 4 years, and you could just do horribly for 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
Which is what happened to us in 2000. We were a good team. Went in, took a dump.
Anybody who's on that team or on that coaching staff, it's obviously a goal to play your best in the Olympics, but there are way more goals involved. It's about becoming better. It's about becoming, you know, a team that represents our country and plays around the world. And, you know, there's other tournaments. There's world championships. I mean, Reed, you can speak to this, obviously. I mean, these are things that matter. I don't think a gold medal at the Olympics is the only goal. I think it's one of many
one
that
of.
You have. Yeah.
One of. It's a long term. But Absolutely. You have to have smaller goals, other things in between. And with you, it's never been about a gold medal here, a win there. It's always about the process and maximizing yourself. We talked a lot about that. But I just get tired of the focus being on that 1-2 week section, which is it's not how the whole thing operates. I guess it's something the public can grasp is one of the big things. But, gosh, I'd like to see Hugh finish out. I'd like to see him give it a run.
So would I. And I hope he does because of all the things I've said. You know, Minnesota's going to be there. It's going to be a great situation for he and his family. But I would love for him and Karch and that staff to be together and finish it.
I want to ask you that question, too.
Yes, go for it.
Hugh leaves tomorrow. Is Karch the head coach?
You guys got to just, like, lasso him and pull him into the studio there.
Karch or Hugh?
Yeah, we can't find him.
You know, I think about when you guys are talking about making the comparisons between a career and not a career, I think you definitely need to have that coach have it be a career move. Because, Barney, if we're talking about players, I remember when I came onto the national team for the first time, your group really seemed like a lot of guys were coming in just to get, quote, their Olympic experience, as opposed to being fully committed for the long haul. And I think it's dangerous when people are just trying to stack their resume or just kind of get their quote Olympic experience. And a lot of people would tell you, I mean, those books out there that are saying that it takes 10,000 hours to really master something. Hugh would be the first to tell you that it takes 2 quads to really get it. And I could attest to that too. You know, the first time around, you're just kind of still learning, even though you've been in the program for 4 years and you're at the Olympic level. It's just like, you know what, I'm still learning. And then you get to that second Olympics, and things are a little different.
Absolutely, and certainly for the coaches, that's the case. And we talked about that 2-year window for Knipe and a 2-year window for someone now. It'd be almost impossible. It'd be really, really tough to come in. Hey, we've got a guy on the line. I know, Reed, you're in there screening him. Get him off the screen there, and we'll bring Ryan Millar into the conversation here. Ryan Millar playing professionally now, been 3-time Olympian, gold medalist at this last Olympics. And, Ryan, you've been listening to the conversation. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, it's I don't know. I think I slightly disagree about the part about the taking the national team job compared to the college game job. I mean, the college game job, as I've been through it for a year, and I went through it at BYU, the hours are long as well. You don't get a lot of time to spend with your family. You're at your office for a long time, checking out video and trying to put together scouting reports, and I don't know. You're doing a lot of the same stuff that you do on the national team. I think on the national team, you do that stuff as well, but I don't know. I would disagree that it's a different type of beast.
Yeah, I mean, you're still traveling. You're still traveling in the fall. You're still traveling.
Oh, yeah.
You're traveling in country.
Do you ever travel for 6 weeks straight? 4 weeks
straight?
Yeah,
that's a good point. I mean, that's a good point. But
you're still busy. Let me tell you, real quick, Ryan. When I was coaching basketball back in the mid-90s, I went to a basketball convention. John Thompson from Georgetown was speaking. We went up and talked to him after. It was like 3 of us. He looked at us. He goes, "Do you guys want to have families? Do you ever want to be married?" And we're like, "Yeah." You know, we're pretty young. We're like, "Yeah, sure." He's like, "Don't get into coaching." I mean, it's pretty, you know, I mean, that's just kind of his take. I mean, coaches at that level, college, national team, they're busy.
Yeah.
You're running a program.
I think you definitely need to have the right type of family environment. I mean, you gotta have a wife who understands the situation, that knows that, you know, there's going to be 6 week long road trips, and that, you know, you're going to be having to travel a lot. It's not just going to be a job where you're going to have all this free time. But with that being said, I mean, I'm sure it's not like you're going to be gone forever. You know, there's quite a bit of downtime on the national team as people are playing overseas. And it seems like that's when, if I was the coach, that I would try to get a lot of my work done individually. Things that I think that we need to be better at as a team, you know, developing my system, you know, keeping contact with the players and letting them know that, hey, I think we need to be better at this. Get ready to be introduced to this type of system when we come back, because I think it's going to make us a better team. I think there's time for that as a national team coach, as your guys are overseas.
Ryan, okay, you have traveled extensively professionally with the national team as a player. You've coached BYU and kind of handled that college beast. If you're Hugh McCutchen right now today, faced with these choices, when do you leave? Do you leave now? Do you leave in 2 years?
You know what? For me, it really doesn't even matter. You know, it's up to him. It's his choice. If he thinks that he's done what he needed to do on the national team and the time is right for him to move on and go to Minnesota, you know, great for him. Obviously, he would have put a ton of thought into that. It wouldn't be a spur-of-the-moment thing. It's something that he's talked about with Wiz and his family. It's something that he's talked about with USAV. I understand your guys' point about seeing this through, and I mean, if you look at the brass tacks of it all, it's only another year and a half commitment, and then you're through to the another Olympic Games for him. But, you know, who knows why he would even think about leaving right now? I mean, obviously there's some reasons why he's even thinking about it, and those are his reasons, and if they're viable reasons, then, you know, who are we or who is anybody to say whether he should do it or not? That's my opinion on it.
For the Net Live, we speculate on all kinds of different things. We just do whatever. Well, hey, Ryan, we appreciate you calling in. Thanks a lot for offering your opinion.
No problem, guys. Yeah, no problem. Take it easy.
See ya. Reader, we lost Geeter. We got Roche back. He had to run off. He saw a text. I think his team's starting to play. He had to jet. He did not know where his backpack was. I think he left his sunglasses and his coat. Jeremy, you're going to have to carry those home.
On his face.
Yeah.
And he leaves things everywhere, by the way.
Reed, reactions to the show this week as we wrap it up?
Yeah, great show. Good show. You know, moving in the right direction. This is the forum for people to say their piece about what's happening in the sport of volleyball, the only show of its kind. So
hey, you make a good point. People, listen, when we ask you to call in, we want you to call in to talk to the highest people in the sport. You're out there on Volley Talk. If you're out there spouting nonsense or want to have a more informed opinion, you want to speak to and get your opinion out to the highest people in this sport, people are listening. The folks at USA Volleyball, people involved with all the beach tours are listening to this show. This is an opportunity for you to get your opinion out there or get your questions out there and get them answered by the top people. We will effort to get that done. So be sure and contact us via email, thenetlive@gmail.com during the week. So call during the show, 347-677-1525. Reach out to us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, The Net Live. We have stuff up there throughout the week as we learn information and post questions up there. Give us something to talk about. Give us some topics. We love interaction with you, volleyball community. That's who we're here to serve. So it's been an episode of The Net Live. Yeah, go ahead.
Case in point was Misty May getting two job offers from high-level Division I programs within 30 seconds of saying that she wants to volunteer.
That's right. She has a Texas job. And anytime, she can become a Longhorn. So from the SCBA Classic, Las Vegas Classic, here in Cashman, we're going to be seeing you next week from the home court. And certainly Anaheim, April 1 through 3, the Net Live, going to be live again at the Juniors Tournament. If you're going to be there, let us know. We'll be picking people off and talking to them here on the program. Email us, thenetlive@gmail.com. Reed, great job. Get some sleep.
Hey, happy President's Day.
Happy President's Day.
Do I get a card for that? You send one in the mail?
Happy, yeah, President's Hallmark.
Day? Yeah.
So So
give me one better, J-Row. Just live it up in Vegas this afternoon. Take some photos and send them my way.
Will do.
You guys know I'm jealous.
Hey, we're going to find your house, man.
I was just thinking that.
We're
going to
TP
it.
We're going to TP your house. All right, this has been The Net Live. We'll see you again next week for another good episode. For Jeremy and Geeter, I'm Kevin. He's Reed. We'll see you again next week. We are out.
Bright light said it's gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I'm just a devil with love to spare. Beaver!